This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch. Claw. Up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line. Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USD has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Random Troy Radio, episode 427, coming to you on Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. We're going to look back at the Lincoln Riley opening press conference at the Coliseum, give you our reactions, open up a mailbag, and so much more. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Reign of Troy, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Reign of Troy. Be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, wherever you can find podcasts, we are there. Our email address is reignoftroy@fansided.com, and our phone number is 213-373-1USC,
Sucker What's Burn Show.
I'm your host, Michael Castillo, joined along with my co-host, here in the Reign of Troy studio in Los Angeles, Alicia Deratola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. It was quite the day on Monday. We were recording this on Monday night, late Monday night, after USC unveiled Lincoln Riley in a pretty spiffy press conference atop the Coliseum in the 1923 Club, which is super, can you imagine a better place to watch a game than that place, by the way?
Especially on that day. Like, they could not have had better weather for this event.
80 degrees.
I mean, it was not...
See everything.
It was allegedly 80. It felt like a very, very comfortable 75. The sky was blue. Not a cloud in sight. The view to downtown was great. The view to the Hollywood sign was great. It was just...
The observatory, you could see everything.
Idyllic. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was exactly everything that USC can be. And so it was really fitting that USC had that moment of getting to introduce Lincoln Riley when, you know, the weather was showing off too.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley, that's
Lincoln
right.
Riley.
Lincoln Riley, USC. It buried the lead here. If you didn't know, USC has hired Lincoln Riley, and boy, are you guys pumped up for it. Not only have we gotten several tweets from people who said that they've given up podcasting, they've given up listening to USC podcasts, they couldn't do it the last couple of years. People are saying they're back. People are calling into the rant line. Here's what you guys had to say. 213-373-1872 is the Reign of Troy rave line in this instance. And here's the crazy things going down over there.
Hey, Reign of Troy, it's Karen from Frisco, Texas.
Hey, guys, it's Michael in the 563.
It's Marcello, Scott from Memphis.
This is Dave from Orange County.
Jordan from Grand Terrace.
It's Mo in Portland.
Mike from OC here.
Yes, this is Tony from Denora, PA.
Hey, Reign of Troy, this is Jackson in Virginia. I was just, minding my own business the other day, and a package arrived, and I thought, that's weird. And I looked at the label, it says, from Norman, Oklahoma. And I was like, I don't know why I would receive anything from Norman, Oklahoma. And I look at the note, and it says, from Mike Bone, enjoy. And I open it, and it's Lincoln freaking Riley.
Holy shit, Lincoln Riley? Boom, Lincoln effing Riley.
We got Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley coming to SC. Yes, I can't believe it.
Yes.
Well, 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 Christmas came early for the Trojan fans.
Oh, I can't believe it. We're back.
Now we are on. USC's back, baby. They can be back.
Beautiful Sunday afternoon in Southern California, and USC finally did some big boy shit and hired a real football coach.
Mike Bone and Brandon Sosna did not hire Luke Fickell. They did not hire Dave Aranda. They did not hire James Franklin. They did not hire Matt Campbell. They go hire a top five elite coach. Not just a great coach, an elite coach, Lincoln Riley. We got Lincoln Riley.
Mike Bone, you go out and do something like this
and totally redeem yourself.
I will definitely blame Mike Bone for this.
Who? Mike Bone.
Patience is a virtue.
I'm sure the guy who does it normally is going to do it, but I want to try it just once, okay? Oh my gosh, I can't believe UFC is hiring Lincoln Riley. Oh, yes!
Oh, I can't believe UFC has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah!
Yeah, we got Lincoln Riley!
It's gonna be fun to have everyone excited again.
I'm excited. I hope you are, too.
I'm shocked.
This is definitely like a home run or grand slam in your guys' opinion, right? Because, oh my God, it seems like that to me. That is a home run, baby. This is not just a home run hire. This is not just a grand slam. This is a walk-off grand slam hire with a bat flip. This is the greatest hire I have ever thought of. I am in complete shock. I'm speechless.
This is amazing.
What a outstanding hire. This is exactly what SC needed.
I think first off, he brings not only some great coaching experience, but if you think about it, his ability to recruit, that is huge.
Give the man the money to bring on his assistants. I want to see the offensive line coach. I want to see the defensive coordinators. Bring them all in.
Let's take back the Pac-12 South. Let's go.
Pac-12 is now on notice. I love it.
Hey, this is a great day for SC history. Hopefully, we can get it going from here.
Enjoy this, Robot, fellow USC fans.
Let's do this, Robot.
Thanks again. You guys put together a great podcast.
Let's go, SC.
Hey, you know what? Fight on, baby.
Fight on.
Fight on.
Fight on.
Fight on.
Fight on.
Fight on, and, oh yeah, still beat the Bears.
There you go. At least the Robots are fired up.
I mean, who wouldn't be fired up? I'm fired up. Like, it's just... It really, it's such a sign of good things. I think this is a move that I think got everybody from USC fans to neutrals to fans of other teams, that everyone just sort of sat up and went, wait, what? And how can you not react with the joy and the excitement that we heard on the rant line? Like, how can you not? It's been so long since USC has had a truly... just exciting moment that you can just run with, and you know, it's wonderful. I'm happy for all of us. I'm happy for literally everyone involved in this entire thing.
We're gonna have people listen to the pod again.
Yeah,
we're gonna have, you know, there's excitement around the program again. You can go into USC Twitter and not feel like there's just overwhelming negativity, and just not that I'm like, you know, I am not a overly positive person. I don't need a ton of positivity, and trust me, positivity in anything turns me off most times. But it's going to be nice not having to just read negative tweet after negative tweet.
Well, I guarantee you there will still be people, and there still are people who are pushing negatives because that's who they are now. That's their identity. But it will be nice. And I think that was one of the things they mentioned. We're going to get into our thoughts on the press conference and everything like that. But I think one of the things that struck me from the press conference, I forget even who said it, but they talked about making a hire that would unify people around USC. And I think that's what this one does. I mean, I think that there will be mixed feelings about, I don't know, everything. The defensive coordinator, the hires, who gets,
100%.
Who stays, who goes, who transfers in, which recruits are got. It's going to turn back into the normal sort of life cycle of college football. But I think that you go into the 2022 season with everyone looking in the same direction in terms of feeling positive, feeling hopeful, not having every single tweet, even if it's about, you know, something random and insignificant and small, turning into Bud Clay Helton. Like, I just think that that's right. I don't think we're going to have to deal with that particular form of negativity. anymore. And I'm so ready for this next era of USC football. And I don't think it's going to be completely smooth sailing. There will be growing pains. There will be things that get worked out. So you have to prepare for that. But I am ready for the sensation of feeling like we're all moving in the same direction.
Well, I just want a place where there can be objective talking about, like, you and I have always wanted to just talk objectively about USC football and everything else. So I just want a place where people can just be normal. Just talk about the team, be negative, be positive, whatever. Don't make that your identity. Just talk about the team as is. From day to day, things go back and forth. That's just how things are. I'm a middle person in terms of that for the most part. And so now it just feels like there's a fresh start around USC football to where you can just start discussions from a point of objectivity.
And not having to like preface everything with, I know that you all hate Clay Helton, but let's talk about this thing because what else are we going to talk about? That kind of thing. This is going to be nice.
It's refreshing. It would have been refreshing no matter who was hired.
Yes.
But that is Lincoln Riley, someone who can definitely energize the fan base. Certainly is a hell of a thing, hell of a drug for USC Twitter and the Rotbots and the fans, everybody. So we're going to talk about the introductory press conference right after this break. All right, Alicia, we talked about it in the intro a little bit. To set the scene, top of the Coliseum, the 1923 club, the brand new club that's there on the top of the scholarship tower. It's only been open for a few years. That is the place where they introduce Mike Bone, Carol Foltz, Brandon Sosna, Rick Caruso, and, of course, Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley.
And give me your first reactions to the whole shebang.
It was a party atmosphere, I think. They started the whole thing off with the band coming in, with the, or at least a section of the
course,
band.
Of course, you had to do that.
With the song girls and everything. And like we said, the atmosphere was great. Just being up there in the Coliseum with the perfect weather, with everything, with all the excitement. There was a buzz. I thought that was really fun. And then it was nice... It was nice being able to see the victory lap that some people were able to do when they have taken a lot of crap over the last couple of years. And so I really appreciated hearing from Carol Folt. Haven't heard her speak all that much since she took over as the president of USC, but you sort of get why she got the job. She just seems like a nice lady. And I really enjoyed hearing her enthusiasm. Mike Bone is walking enthusiasm. So you know what you're getting there. And then Lincoln Riley, I mean, one of the things that struck me the most in terms of just first impressions was the way that he started the whole thing. Looking back at the Coliseum and saying something like, wow, is this real? Is this for real? Right. And it felt so right, because I think that's what a lot of USC fans have said over the last 24 hours is, wow, is this real? And it was kind of cool seeing Lincoln Riley in awe. And it, to me, kind of sheds light on why he chose to come to USC, why he chose to leave Oklahoma for USC. It's not just the perfect weather. It's not just the program and the potential and all that. But you and I were having a conversation. It struck me, Lincoln Riley is 38 years old. He was, you know, a teenager in his early 20s when Pete Carroll was at USC. He will have had the same understanding of that mystique of the USC program from that sort of age, when you always talk about how your impression of which teams are good is like baked in from when you're like a kid or whatever, for you, whatever age that is.
Well, for him, that's going to be like the 1992.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's not a good thing.
No. But what I'm talking about, like places that you would want to work. Right. Like the aspirational thing.
His formative years in football as a player and early on as a coach, as a GA at Texas Tech.
Yeah, when he's...
When SC was at the pinnacle.
When he's a GA at Texas Tech and he's thinking about, you know, where his career might take him. Like, I think that it's... You get the sense, and he'll have to speak more on this. I'm not trying to, like, put words in his mouth, but he was a GA in 2006. So, like, that was his first GA dog. And then he was an SA, so was that a... What would an SA be? Is that like
is it a support staff?
Support staffer or something like that?
Something?
From 2003 to 2005. So like the beginning of his football career is in that frame where, you know, you would look at where do I want to work? Like I'd want to go to USC and I'd want to be part of that environment. And I don't know, I'm reading stuff in there, but I you saw the awe from him, and that was just kind of cool because Lincoln Riley is a big deal, and for him to be awed by USC is I don't know. I'm awed by USC every time I walk in the Coliseum, so it's nice to share that.
Yeah, for me, the press conference in general was definitely a big moment for SC, packed with all the things that you wanted to hear. I think, you know, SC wins the day with the press conference. The press conference is easy to win. So I'm not going to, you know, count this as like this major victory or anything like that, because Sark won the press conference. Clay Helton won the press conference. You know what I mean? Like all these guys have always won the press conference. But I think what made this one different for me is the talk about the process. And I know that we were texting our friend Jake Merrifield of the What's Bruin show, and he said how obnoxious he thought it was that SC made it a point to talk about how smart they were. I think when you're USC and you've had decades of incompetent leadership and this like insular identity where there's rampant nepotism throughout the school, where USC people hire USC people. We talk about the whole idea that, you know, you're a Trojan Trojan for life, right? And the US, the USC network and how important that is. That is all great. But at the same time, that concept can be completely taken too far. And you've seen it so many times with this athletic program, especially. That's the thing we all know more than anything. But really throughout the university as a whole, the athletic department is just the easiest one to talk about it. When you talk about all the ADs have had USC connections, with the exception of two, right? Mike Bone and Mike McGee from the 1980s. All but two. That's insane. And you talk about the coaches. All the times that USC has replaced national title winning head coaches, every single time they hired someone who was an assistant on their staff previously. They never went looking for the next national title winning coach, right? Like, SC has just had this thing where the insular hire after insular hire and just this lack of a process outside of, do you know the words to fight on? Do you know where the door is to go to Traddies? If you know both of those things, you're 2/3 of the way to getting the job. SC needed to prove that that was no longer the case because everything had gone to rot really throughout the university. Well, a different kind of rot throughout the university. You see all the scandals and all the cover-ups and all that stuff, the FBI investigations, the university, the athletic department, all of that had gone to rot. You needed outside thought to come in and clean it up. You needed that. You needed a process. And I thought it was very apparent that how much of the talk was rooted in, you know what, we needed the last 2 years. And this is something that, you know, Rick Caruso insinuated by saying that the biggest moment of all of this, the catalyst, was hiring Carol Folt. And I agree, because not that Carol Folt gets you Lincoln Riley, but them going out and hiring a university president that has no ties to USC, zero, puts the shows the kind of hiring process that USC started to value over everything, which is go out and hire the right person for the job. They did that for the university president, in turn did that for the AD, and so on and so forth. And here you are, and the result of it is Lincoln Riley. And I know, yeah, if you're a UCLA fan, it might be tiring to hear about how smart USC was in this hiring process. But when the SC has literally never done it before, you have to mention it and you have to sell it. Because well, I think part of the problem, and like, you know, these press conferences are about recruiting as much as anything else, right? But I think you're about recruiting your own fans.
You're recruiting ticket holders, really.
You're recruiting ticket holders, but also in the place where SC has been, look at the number of people who said they don't listen to our podcast anymore because of how frustrated they are with USC. The number of people who post on the P over at USCfootball.com because they don't go to games anymore, right? Because of the thing. Like, people are out there saying these things. It's not like they didn't care, but they needed a reason to buy in. So, of course, the press conference was going to end up being a reason to sell people to buy in.
And it's
and
not.
The, and the number one reason to get people to buy in is to cap it all off by walking the walk, talking the talk, and getting Lincoln Riley.
And it's not just that they were selling it, too. They were...
But what I mean is they had to sell it along the way,
right? No. I agree they were selling it. But no, I think this was them saying, listen to us. 100%, when we told you to trust the process, this was the process. And this is one of the things that I texted back to Jake, not to, you know, crap all over Jake, but he's just our sounding board here. Like, Mike Bone and Carol Folt and everyone is associated them, they were lambasted, roasted, criticized, heckled. They were everything under the sun for 2 years. They got called names. They got called stupid. They got called, you know, incompetent. They got called everything you can think of. And all they could do in that time was say, trust the process. We're putting a plan in place. Trust us. We know what we're doing. Trust us. This whole press conference to me was them following through with the, we told you to trust us. Now, this is how we got to where we were. Right. This is why you should trust us, because this is the way that we operate. This is the way that we do things. So it is a little patting yourself on the back, but like, when you've gone through the, you know, we use the analogy when USC fired Helton, the Shawshank Redemption crawling through a mile of shit.
Use average movies again.
Oh, I hate you sometimes. Crawling through all that shit and getting to the other side and being free. Like, to me, this whole day was them being Andy Dufresne in that moment. We were that. We've been Andy Dufresne crawling through the sewage for the last few years, and we've come out on the other side. And I think that Mike Bone, Carol Folt, Brandon Sosna, Caruso, everyone involved in this whole thing, to me, it was just them saying, we did it. We took all that crap, and this is why you guys should trust us. We know what we're doing.
Yeah, my biggest question the last 2 years was, we talked about it before, I think we agreed that SC should have fired Clay Helton at the end of the 2019 season. They should have done it after the 2018 season.
I think everyone's life would have been easier in the long run if they had just fired Clay Helton in 2019.
Well, 2018. And then 2019 for sure, because 2019 is the one that we can talk about more importantly, because that's the one that Mike Bone and Carol Folt and everybody was here for. Yeah, and obviously, there was the financial ramifications of that and all those things. And we have talked about understanding the reasons for them not doing it, even if we disagree, right? And so one of my biggest questions going into the press conference was something that I've still been wondering. How important were those 2 years in getting here? And my biggest takeaway, because everyone was in lockstep saying these things, and alignment, I feel like, was the buzzword.
Was the watchword, yeah.
You know, Lincoln Riley said that one of the reasons that he listened and bought in was the alignment of the whole spiel, right? That And so the 2 years thing, how important was that? And, you know, they had talked about it before that they needed to, you know, add money to the support staff and all that stuff. And the we've talked about the things that SC needs to do to lure a coach in, that they've done in the last 2 years. I come away after this press conference 100% buying into the idea they did need those 2 years. They really needed the 2 years. Not in the sense of, like, that still was the reason not to fire Clay Helton at the time. More so, I don't think you end up in the place you are now in an alternate reality where they fire Clay Helton back then, because they don't have, they wouldn't have had all the support staff in place. They wouldn't have had all the structure and the process and the help for for the student athletes.
The NIL stuff.
The NIL stuff wouldn't have been there. The help for the coach. Like we talked about before that, you know, Mike Bone didn't fire Clay Helton, but also he gave Clay Helton a ton of resources in the past 2 years to do anything possible to win. Clay Helton still didn't win, and so he needed to go. That's just how it worked, right? But SC has just changed how things completely work. It's because they went out and they hired people who didn't know anything about USC, and they came in from a completely different, you know, landscape of things, a completely different perspective, all walks of life. And I think that it's interesting, we can talk about it later, but the you and I were talking about how I think Brandon Sossen and Mike Bone work so well together. And I think they make the best out of each other.
Yeah,
in that sense. We'll talk about that later, but like,
We could talk about that right now,
no, but I don't want to get derailed from this point of like the whole 2 years thing.
Yeah.
They needed those 2 years because I think that had they made the move and fired Clay Helton after 2019, which we all think is still valid at the time, obviously, they're not getting Lincoln Riley in 2019. Who are they getting in 2019? Maybe it's Matt Campbell.
I don't think it's Matt Campbell in 2019.
Maybe it's, I think Matt Campbell probably would have been high on their list.
Matt Campbell was turning down NFL jobs in 2019.
Yeah, and then there was Matt Rhule, who at the time was pre-Carolina Panthers job. Maybe he was someone who would have been targeted or whatever, but I don't know that those coaches were in a position to listen and accept a USC job that didn't have the show me, don't tell me aspects of the program, where you can now see the investment in the last 2 years and all the little avenues that USC has done to support their coaches, support the whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brandon Sosna straight up said that. You and I in the car on the way to the press conference talked about how we wanted to ask that specific question. We wanted to ask how important were those 2 years. And we got that answer without even asking the question. Like, that was one of the funny things. I'm standing there in the Sosna scrum, and before I even have a chance to broach the subject, he's talking about how it was really important to set up what we needed to set up, and we don't get Lincoln Riley if we didn't have that established foundation that they worked on. Now, again, like, we don't want to say that that means that they got it right by not firing Clay Helton in 2019. I think we've said multiple times they probably should have just pulled off the Band-Aid, and maybe they would have flown by the seat of their pants a little bit in that first hiring process, but we would have avoided the last 2 years.
But if you're Mike Bone, hypothetically, mm-hmm. Mind you, I think in a perfect world, if he had complete say, I think he'd want to come in and immediately make his mark. But if you're Mike Bone, you get that hire wrong, and maybe you don't make a second hire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly.
And so it kind of works out that then you get this perfect world situation where you can put everything into this hire, and this was the do or die hire, where if it all pans out, you're a hero. Well, and if not, then you are every bit the goat in the true yes. classic word of the word goat.
Yeah.
This
is one of the things that, and we're now moving ahead. I just have to get this out there. The Brandon Sosna media scrum, I recorded it on my phone it didn't, the sound quality is terrible. If it was better, we would just stick it on the end of this podcast so you all could listen to it. I encourage everyone to go pull up the video that I know for sure that Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com, put it up on YouTube. I'm sure pretty much everyone was around that scrum.
We'll put the link in the show notes.
Go watch that video if you want to understand why so many people are so, number one, so high on Brandon Sosna as an individual, but also why the media who have interacted with Brandon Sosna and Mike Bone, why everyone was pretty confident that the administration as is was going to be able to pull this off, because they get it. And Brandon Sosna absolutely gets it. And you 1000% that comes across in that media scrum. And one of the most important things that I think he talked about in that scrum, aside from talking about how getting a coach is part, most of it is them doing right by their family. So you have to work your way through that. You have to figure out, these are human beings you're interacting with. This isn't a video game.
Same thing
you
talk about with recruiting kids.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. These are human beings, and they're not governed by the things that people think they're governed by all the time. One of the things that I really appreciated that he said was that fans get very invested in the hiring and the firing bit. And the hiring and the firing bit, it's important, but there are bigger things at play in any athletic department. There are bigger things at play in any, you know, sports franchise, where it's not just about the hiring and firing. If your only focus is on the hiring and firing, you're going to be a dumpster fire of a franchise, a program, or whatever, a team, if that's all that you're thinking about. Because it does come down to foundations, it comes down to personnel, it comes down to the people, the entire collective, putting together the way that a franchise works. There's a reason that the Steelers and the Patriots are significantly better franchises across the board, regardless of which head coaches that they bring in or don't. There's a reason that that certain teams operate at a higher functioning level than others. Like, and I'm sorry to any of fans out there that are of these teams, but than the Lions or the Browns or, you know, the Clippers for years, or, you know, whoever you want to point out. Like, there's a reason that some of these teams work and some of these teams don't, and they tend to be consistent that way, because it's not just about, well, we made the right hire. The hire is never going to work out if you don't give them something to work with. The right quarterback that you pick number one overall is never going to work out unless you give him an offensive line and skill position players and build up a defense that's able to support him. All of those things have to work in concert. And I think that's what Sosna was getting across. I think that's what we heard from Bone and everybody involved in this whole process, is it's bigger than just the hiring and the firing. Don't be so focused in on that as the one thing. There's so much more. It's a very complex piece of clockwork that you're working with there. And I think they got that across beautifully today in the press conferences. And it was really gratifying for me standing there listening to these guys, knowing that, like, I had tried to get some of these things across over the last few years. And I don't know how eloquently I did it. I don't know how consistently I did it, but it was nice to hear them saying the things that I thought were going on behind the scenes, the assumptions that I was making, that they do understand what they're doing and they do have their priorities right. That's the number one thing I can say, is I think that this administration has proven they have their priorities right. And you don't get Lincoln Riley to leave a powerhouse program like Oklahoma unless you can convince him of that. So bravo to USC for doing that.
1000%. SC has had an idea of what they needed to do the last 2 years, at every level, and being prepared. It's incredible what being prepared to do these things does for everybody. Being prepared to coach, being prepared to find a new coach, being prepared to assist your coach. All these things are important, and SC has got that foundation now. And, you know, really, you look at the culmination of the last decade, when you talk about the infrastructure thing, The McKay Center was built in 2012, right? Obviously, there were many years in which they had the McKay Center. They were still part of the insular identity and all those kind of things, right? But and the Coliseum has just been finished its remodel 3 years ago. But now it feels like finally, USC can be the blue blood people want them to be.
Yes.
Because they're taking themselves seriously at every level. There's buy-in from the Board of Trustees. You couldn't say that before. There's buy-in from the president in a form of establishing a process for doing things that trickled down to Bone and Sossen and so on. This is the foundation that USC needed, and from here it's now all about Lincoln Riley making do on everything, and that's.
It's got to trickle down from Lincoln Riley too.
Right.
They made the you have a domino effect of making the right hire from president to AD to CFO or whatever it is that Sossen's official title is to blah, 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 blah. Lincoln Riley has to be that figurehead now for everyone in his staff, for the way that they recruit players, for the way that they evaluate the players that are on the team, transfer portal, the whole deal. You got to get it working in concert.
Yeah, and let's look at the Lincoln Riley quotes. Buried the lead a little bit. We're like, what is it, 30 minutes in this episode?
Yeah.
Where we really talk about Lincoln Riley himself. His opening statement was, quote, this is part of it, "I can promise you that we're going to get the best out of myself, we're going to get the best out of our staff, out of our players, and we're going to put something on that you can feel proud of. I agree with Chairman Rick Caruso that this place is going to be full. This is going to be the mecca of college football." That's a bold-ass statement. And he went on to say that he doesn't like promises after making that bold promise. This is certainly one that if the whole thing goes sideways from here, you can look at it and think, oh, I might want that one back. But that, if you're a USC fan, after all of the things of the last decade, that's what you want to hear, because that's what you want, right? Like, that is absolutely what you want. The Coliseum should be the mecca of college football because it should have been for decades, right? And it wasn't, because the building itself wasn't taken seriously by the government, right? By the university, by everything. Now everything is sort of in concert with the whole process thing, and now it's about making it so. Lincoln Riley, on the time frame, asked how quickly can he win. He said, quote, "In this day and age, I think it can happen quickly. I do. I think there's a lot of good things going on in this program right now that absolutely that we can build off of. And that in this day and age, the way college football works, you can turn over rosters in so many different ways, and we'll be very, very deliberate, creative, and intentional about that." AKA recruiting and transfer portal stuffs.
Yeah, I think that you definitely got the sense, and these are all words, so take them for what they are, that there will be roster turnover. We expect there to be transfers out. We expect there to be transfers in. We expect there to be recruiting shakeups. I mean, already Oklahoma's entire recruiting class has basically exploded, and that speaks to Riley's,
I believe the term is imploded.
Imploded. Riley's recruiting ability and his staff's recruiting ability, that so many of those players clearly were committed to Oklahoma because of him, and some of them might follow him to USC. Other guys that weren't even committed to Oklahoma might end up at USC because suddenly there's legitimacy there. So I agree with him. I wrote something on fansided.com about, you know, you have to give him patience. I hope that USC fans give him patience and understanding in the first couple of years here. But I don't think he'll need that much patience from us, because we saw from the BYU game, there's talent to work with on this team. The recruiting can turn around quickly. Transfers can turn around quickly.
Let's be honest. What we've talked about before, on paper,
is still one of most
SC is an 8-9 win team.
Yeah.
You know, just out of the box. and should absolutely be fighting with ASU and Utah for a Pac-12 South at minimum. At minimum, UCLA.
And life just got easier because Fresno State's lost their head coach and Notre Dame just lost their head coach. More on that later. So
yeah, things are changing literally everywhere. Let's talk about the staff. Confirmed hires: defensive coordinator Alex Grinch. Yep, formerly of Washington State, then went to Ohio State, and then the Sooners pried him out of Columbus and brought him to the Sooners for the last few years. He's coming along with wide receivers coach Dennis Simmons, strength and conditioning coach Benny Wiley, and director of ops, football ops, Clark Stroud. They were all on the plane early Monday morning that flew out of Norman. Did you see the clip of all of them arriving at the airport there in Oklahoma City? Still wearing Oklahoma gear, which I thought was hilarious.
And then they got out of the plane at USC in Los Angeles and miraculously they had magicked their way into SC gear.
Yeah,
I think it's great that those guys immediately came. Alex Grinch drew a lot of ire from Oklahoma fans this year, but you look at his numbers, they're all way better than anything USC has produced since 2016, essentially. And B, one of the really important things about having a Lincoln Riley offense is you need a complementary defense. And I think that's what Alex Grinch's defense gives. They will give up points because that's what happens when you have an offense like Lincoln Riley's.
Right.
But Alex Grinch, I think philosophically, fits exactly what USC needs. And he did a hell of a job at Washington State. And let's face it, they'll have a lot easier time against the offenses in the Pac-12 than they did week in, week out in the Big 12.
And we saw what Alex Grinch did at Washington State.
Yeah.
When he had,
with Washington State level talent.
Who was that guy that was like, he was like 250 and he was dominating on the line of scrimmage?
Oh, yeah, I don't
know. Hercules
Mata'afa? Yeah, Mata'afa. Yeah.
SC might not have five-star guys in the defensive line as of now, but, there's Corey Foreman, so sure.
Yeah, there's guys to work with.
But, yeah, there's guys to work with, but they have at least the amount of talent as Washington State had back in 2017. Other members of this staff still sort of up in the air. Bill Biedenboe, the guy we've talked about for years, literally, the best offensive line coach in the country. We've said this many times over. He was not on that plane. However, per Matt Zenitz of On3 Sports over in Oklahoma, he is going to be there with USC going forward. So we'll have to see, wait for complete confirmation on that, but that looks good.
Yeah, I won't be truly happy until Bill Biedenboe gets announced. Because I am extremely invested in him coming to USC.
100%.
But for now, that's been reported, and we have no indications to believe that it's not going to get followed through on. So, cross your fingers.
Yeah, the other one to mention, Dante Williams. What's up with Dante Williams? He got thanked by literally everybody in the press conference. Did Lincoln Riley thank him outright? I don't think so, but I think everyone else mentioned him by name.
Yeah.
I don't know what Lincoln Riley is supposed to say about him, so I'm... Awkward, right? But Dante Williams is an interesting one. Currently up in the air if he comes back. We've talked about this before. It was all going to be about who did you hire and what's the system that they have. If Lincoln Riley has a guy who he wants to be the cornerbacks coach because he's got a system in place, then that's where you go. I know Dante Williams is a hell of a recruiter, but so is Lincoln Riley, and so are the guys on his staff. You have to, you know, trust the whole process thing. There was a quote from the Lincoln Riley scrum at the end of the press conference, which we did not get into because it was just pure mayhem.
I was in there, but I could not hear a single thing that Lincoln Riley said.
I heard nothing. but here was a quote that USCFootball.com was able to grab. Quote, there's obviously going to have a lot of great candidates I think would want to come coach with us here. There are several really good ones right here. So I'll visit with those guys. And the thing I don't want to do is jump in too quickly. You know, there's a few guys that I'm going to bring. They are here today. There will be a few more coming in the next few days. So obviously, there's a lot of candidates out there, whether they're here at USC or not, will visit with them.
Yeah, and it really comes down to me, who does Lincoln Riley want? And like you said, if he has his own guy, his cornerbacks coach at Oklahoma was Roy Manning. And Roy Manning could come to USC and coach cornerbacks. He could come to USC and coach something else. USC could keep Dante Williams around as a special teams coordinator. USC could keep Dante Williams around as a safety. Well, however they want to do it, if they want Dante Williams, I would like them to keep him. If they don't value him, Lincoln Riley gets to do whatever he wants. Yeah. He just gets to do whatever he wants. The interesting thing is that it will be interesting to see who else Riley brings.
There's a lot of OU guys.
There's a lot of OU guys. The linebackers coach, Brian Odom, the inside receivers coach, Gale Gundy, the D-line coach, Cale Gundy.
You know who he is, right?
Yes.
Mike's little brother.
Yeah.
Little brother? Older brother?
I don't know the older or younger. D-line coach Calvin Thibodeau, running backs coach DeMarco Murray, and tight end sort of assistant head coach Joe John Finley, all are OU alums. So there's every chance that they stick around with Oklahoma or seek other opportunities elsewhere. We don't know. The outside linebackers defensive end coach Jamar Cain is not an OU alum, and Roy Manning is not an OU alum. That doesn't mean they couldn't end up staying, but
yeah,
guys to watch out for.
Yeah, guys to watch out for, indeed. All those OU alums reminded me. I thought it was very interesting. I'm just going to shoehorn this whole thought in here. I listened to a couple of OU podcasts on Sunday night, Monday morning. Man, those are a doozy to listen to because, like, the yo-yoing between, oh my God, Oklahoma lost the best, like, one of the best coaches in college football, and actually he was a fraud anyways, and a liar, is severe. So, like, wear, like, something to help with the whiplash when you listen to those podcasts. One, two, I thought it was fascinating them talking about the struggles that OU media and alums have had with Lincoln Riley, where he has exerted control on things like media and shutting the door and keeping things very private when it comes to both the media and alums. And yet in the press conference, the introductory press conference on Monday, he said the doors are going to be opened for every USC alum there is. And one of the guys on one of the OU press conference, podcast I heard had said something along the lines of, if he says he's going to, you know, open the door to all the alums at USC, that's going to feel like a dagger. I don't know all the context, surely. But I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting to know, because one of the questions I've had going forward is, how are things going to change? Because USC, being USC, has been very open with media. Obviously, things have changed over the last 5 to 10 years in terms how, you know, people can't go to Thursday practices for much time and all those kind of things. But coaches around the country, including Lincoln Riley, don't allow guys to don't allow the media to come in. So how is that going to change? How is that going to change with alums? I don't know. But all of those alums on the staff, you would have to think, if there's anyone that's going to stay at OU with Bob Stoops for the bowl game, it would be those guys.
Yeah, so it's just we're on staff watch now. And you have to imagine they're going to get this put together pretty quickly because, I mean, they're already recruiting on Monday night, Lincoln Riley and Dennis Simmons, the wide receivers coach, were already doing an in-home visit with Relique Brown, the five-star running back. So they're getting hitting the ground running. So we'll see how this all plays out.
Yeah. Last thing before we get to the mailbag. Let's talk about the carousel. Alicia, Brian Kelly.
The madness? Yeah.
Brian Kelly, no longer at your alma mater, Notre Dame. What is it like over in Irish land about not having Brian Kelly? He's off to LSU.
Well, I sent a text to my brother, who is an actual Notre Dame fan. And it was like eyeball emojis with the tweet. And he was like, oh, so there must be a lot of money there. And I'm like, yeah, that must be it. I just think it's really funny that there was a stretch. There was like a week stretch where it was like, wow, this is such a weird coaching carousel when you have such big jobs like Florida and LSU and USC Open. And all of these guys are opting to stay in place instead when Tucker and Fickell and Aranda were all working on extensions and all that. And then this weekend happened and suddenly
mayhem,
utter mayhem. And it's only going to get worse because USC takes Riley from Oklahoma. Oklahoma is now going to have to take somebody from somewhere. LSU
They're
takes
looking at Brent Venables, former OU assistant.
LSU takes Brian Kelly from Notre Dame. That means that Notre Dame is now open. Notre Dame can, I mean, it seems an obvious fit for Fickell or Campbell if they want to go there. There's just like, and then once those are open, then, well, now what are you going to do? Like, the carousel is only just beginning.
And it could get worse next month because when the NFL jobs open up.
Yes, when the NFL jobs open up, who knows?
And there's Ryan Day, the Chicago Bears rumors.
Yeah. So
can you imagine? Think about if you're like Matt Campbell and you go this whole time where you're like, I'm not going to leave Iowa State. For years, you say, I'm not going to leave Iowa State. And then all of a sudden, the other day, it looks like we're talking about him after the BYU game as if he's going to be the guy, right? The leader. That's what the reports were. Pete Thamel and all those guys had put out that Matt Campbell was the guy that USC was looking at. And then a day later, it's, oh no, they've hired Lincoln Riley, right? And so I've thought for years that the job that Matt Campbell would go to would be Ohio State, and that's the one he was waiting for. But it never really came open because it just immediately went to Ryan Day. Well, what if Notre Dame opens up and he's like, well, maybe Notre Dame. But they go to the Luke Fickell, who apparently Luke Fickell's Catholic. I don't keep track of these things, but apparently he's Catholic. So immediately he's got to be the Notre Dame coach, you know, by logic.
Well, the Cincinnati to Notre Dame thing worked out before.
It did, yeah. And so what if Campbell at the end of the day is the ultimate winner here by getting the Ohio State job if Ryan Day goes to the Bears?
I mean, at this
be wild.
At this point, USC getting Lincoln Riley, LSU getting Brian Kelly, I now have to believe a lot of things that I liked to poo-poo in weeks, years past. Like, I was very comfortable with the whole, like, yeah, that's never going to happen response to every coaching rumor that I saw. And over the last 24 hours, you see a coaching rumor and you go, I mean, I get. Lincoln Riley went to USC, so like, who the hell knows?
There are people talking about like upwards of $15 million per year.
$15 million a year for Brian Kelly.
I don't know how real that is, but and the numbers that you'll see out there for Graham Harrell, we'll never know because Mike Bone specifically was asked about
Lincoln
it.
Riley.
About Lincoln Riley. what did I say?
Graham Harrell.
Oh, wrong Texas Tech alum. Sorry. Yeah. Mike Bone specifically said something about, it was a very pre-planned answer, which was, we know what the landscape of college football is like, and we're not discussing the specifics of the contract, which I interpret as, that means we had to pay market value.
Well, and Brandon Sosna even said straight up, like, we were consistent with the market.
Yeah, which
you sounds
would expect,
like
right?
it sounds like but 10 years, $10 million a year.
That's
the
going rate of these elite jobs. If you want to win, that's what you have to pay. It pays to play and all those things. Place to pay, whatever that phrase is. But the other thing is, I saw it on Twitter. Is Nick Saban like the cheapest?
He is
ever or what? Because I don't know what the exact figures are, but it's somewhere like
eight?
$10 million or whatever. I don't know what it is.
Did he get it boosted up to eight?
These are things
while,
I don't care
eight.
About. And part of it because USC doesn't release figures. So I
yeah.
feel like I don't have to know these numbers anyways.
Which is great.
But yeah, Nick Saban is worth twice as much as anybody else. And he's certainly not making like that number remotely.
Well, that's the argument that, like, that's the LeBron argument,
right?
Or the Tom Brady argument. Like, you know, like you couldn't possibly pay LeBron James the amount that he's actually for real life worth
right.
as a team. Like that just you just doesn't happen. So he's yeah, deal.
Yeah. It's like the Braves locked up Acuna until 28 for $100 million.
Mm-hmm. That's a Mets deal are, now.
The Mets are paying 130 for 3 years of Scherzer.
Yeah. Wild. Yeah. It's wild, man.
Wild, wild, wild. All right, let's get to the mailbag. You guys had calls and questions and want to talk about Lincoln Riley. So let's do that and we'll wrap this thing up.
You've got mail.
All right, Alicia, let's start the mailbag with a voicemail we got from Scott in Memphis.
Hey, guys. Scott from Memphis again. Just giving you a call. Still pumped and excited. I'm flying around 10 feet above the ground with Lincoln Riley. But I just want to let everybody know that they need to practice patience next year, okay? Because I was just kind of doing thinking and research. Nick Saban's first year at Bama, 6-6. Next year, 12-2. Urban Meyer, first year at, it was 9-3, and then 13-1. And then, Pete Carroll was 6-6 and 11-2 the second year. Bob Stoops' first year was 7-5. Then he was 13-0 and won a national championship. And Chip Kelly, UCLA, was 3-9 his first year. And wait, hold on. 4-8 the second year. Let's scratch him out. But what I'm trying to say is that the first year with Lincoln Riley is going to be a little bit of a transitional year. He's going to have probably a 7-5, maybe an 8-4 year. Nobody needs to get despondent because the next year when the recruiting comes in, he's already going to get some recruits that were going to go to Oklahoma that were Southern California. I'm sure you've already read about that. He's going to get them to come on to USC. We're going to have a good year next year, but it's not going to be some crazy winning the Pac-12. I mean, it'd be awesome. But the next year, the second year, is going to be the year. So fight on, just kind of letting everybody know that just have patience next year because it's going to happen. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Scott. I 100% agree. Have patience. We talked about it before. We talked about it with Chris Peterson before, that if he came, expect a tear down because that's what he did at Washington. Sark left a ton of talent at Washington. And what did Chris Peterson do? He tore down that team. A bunch of guys left, a lot of attrition. And then I think he went 6-6 his first year. I don't remember what they did in the bowl game. His first year at UW. So, yes, at the same time, this isn't the Big 12. This isn't the ACC with Clemson there. I guess we will ignore this year, perhaps. This isn't the SEC. This isn't the Big 10, where there are teams at the top that are ultra competitive that are preventing you from having a good year. Alicia, I think, yes, you should be skeptical of what USC can do in year one. But since we talked about it before, on paper, this SC team already should have been like an 8-4, 9-3 team, as is. Why can't they do that in year one of Lincoln Riley, especially when the Pac-12 does not have a powerhouse that has like-for-like talent that USC does? And the only one that's close, Oregon, which you can, okay, make the argument that they do have all that talent. Thibodeau's gone next year. Right?
And USC doesn't play them in the regular season.
And SC doesn't play them in the regular season.
No, I think the schedule sets up really nicely for USC again, especially like the out-of-conference schedule was going to be tougher before the weekend. Kalen DeBoer is at Washington now. USC won't see him this year unless they see in 2022 unless they see him in the Pac-12 title game. Notre Dame loses Brian Kelly. They're reeling. They're going to have to figure themselves out. They may still be very difficult, but they're going to be in the same position as USC, working out the new staff and all that. The conference slate, a road trip to Utah is by far the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
A road trip to Oregon State is tough, but it's not like USC shouldn't go into that game feeling competitive, despite what happened this year. I think there might be a lot of toss-up games, and that's where you potentially end up with a 6-6 talk.
I don't know if there's going to be a bunch of toss-up games. I think there would be plenty of chances for SC to have growing pains.
Yeah. And that's what
they're going to be favored to win most of their games.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The growing pains will ensure that USC has some games that are close and thus toss-up results. When I say that, toss-up results. So, you know, will they beat Stanford? I don't know. Will they beat UCLA? I don't know. Will they beat ASU? I don't know.
I think that Stanford game's a loss.
I mean, it's going to be early. You never know.
We're going to talk about this, obviously, all off-season. I just think that, like, I think it would be very fitting for a road game up at Stanford. If you're David Shaw, you probably spend all off-season waiting for that game to make a statement. And if you're SC, you're still learning the whole process under Lincoln Riley and everything. Like, it just seems ripe to find a Stanford that is ultra-motivated to win and a USC that would have growing pains in their first road game.
Well, and that's why, you know, my prediction would be I think that Lincoln Riley can come in and go 8-4, 9-3. And I think that would be a successful year one.
And people
one.
Should have patience for that.
8-4, yeah, because we're talking about four losses. So, you know, be patient. It's not going to be undefeated. There will probably be a handful of losses. Still win the Pac-12 South.
Yeah, you know. A lot of this is going to also pertain to how the eye test goes.
Yes, absolutely. Are you getting better as the season goes on? Are you finding your feet? All those things. So, yes, the number one thing is be patient, have patience, extend some empathy and some grace to the growing pains that will happen. But like I said, I don't think it's going to take the full rebuild that some people will talk about. Am I ruling out that there might need to be more of a full rebuild? No, I don't know how it's all going to play out. But I don't think it's totally.
If
that's
we're
not
talking
the landscape
about winning
these days.
National championships.
Oh yeah,
yes.
We're not talking about winning national
because
titles.
You're going to need time to get in the 5-star defensive lineman and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But I think that's if you are looking at 2022
as a national
title year, then don't
then it's a different story.
Reset your expectations.
All right, let's go to a Rutbot in the 818.
Hooray! I listened to your monumentally, beautifully well done, detailed list of all the different coaches that were possibly, and I listened to it twice, and yet my memory is so bad, I don't remember where you listed Lincoln Riley as a home run hire or as a did you list him in the highest category? I was just curious about that. I'll go back and listen to it again. Another thing, Alicia, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago I called up and I just was laughing and giggling about your sudden transformation like a werewolf from calm and collected to I think it was after the Fresno State game, and Velus Jones had just saved Helton. And you said, and I just wanted to say to myself, finish him! Finish him! I knew that was familiar, and now I think I know what it's from, but maybe you don't know yourself, but I think it's from I, Claudius, and the sister of Claudius is watching a Gladiators, and she's bloodthirsty, and so she's saying, finish him! Finish him! Well, anyway, he's finished. We're on the road to the big time, and I'm very happy, and I love your enthusiasm about all this stuff. Exemplifies everything I feel deep down. My name is Guy. Thank you, and hope that you play my message. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Guy. That's a good message.
Yeah, I love the woo-hoo at the start. yeah, that's great. I do remember I do remember the finish him thing. I don't even know what I was referring to there. I think it's like an amalgamation of a lot of different like pop culture things. But I mean, it's a new era now, and we'll have new reasons for me to freak out one way or the other, positive or negative. I'm excited to feel USC again. I mean, if you guys listen to the CarCast from Saturday, the BYU game, I was already sort of feeling it again from that game. So you can just imagine the season opener for 2022. Like, I am looking forward to the next ridiculously long off season and feeling that growing excitement that we're gonna have as spring turns to summer. Summer gets closer and closer, and then like it's been a while since we've been able to go into a new season feeling that passion and that excitement. And I know I show it, and all of the Rotbots are constantly showing it to everyone on Twitter, everyone around. I think we are all in that together, and it's gonna be fun to be excited again, to be enthusiastic, to let the passion show.
Yeah, 100%. People are all bought in, and we're excited about it. Let's get to a Slack message we got from Samuel, North Carolina. Will we see major OU transfers to USC? And if so, who would you want to bring on? Not just recruiting, but specific players on the OU roster. We also got a Slack message from Evan. We're starting Caleb Williams next year if he follows Riley for sure, right? So we'll put these two questions together. First things first. Spencer Rattler is now in the transfer portal for OU. The five-star quarterback out of Pinnacle High in Phoenix. As is five-star former number one receiver in the 2019 class, Jaden Hazelwood. In the transfer portal. Out of Georgia.
I think they're the transfer portal this year, not just with regards to USC and Oklahoma and the like, but the transfer portal is going to be wild across the board. There's just too much, all the shaking up, the Notre Dame, LSU, Florida, everybody, the whole deal. It's going to be intense. It's going to be wild. And so who knows how this is all going to play out. One thing I feel pretty certain about is Spencer Rattler being in the transfer portal. I don't know what he gains by coming to USC. I think
I don't get that one at all.
He was benched by Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why he'd come to USC to compete with Jackson Dart with Lincoln Riley. Like, I don't know. There's talk of Caleb Williams following Lincoln Riley to USC. That would certainly be fascinating. I wouldn't rule it out at this point. But again, if Caleb Williams comes to USC, I think you have to have a competition where you give Jackson Dart and the other quarterbacks a chance to win him over. I think he'd have an advantage knowing Lincoln Riley's offense already. But, all of these things, you just want there to be competition.
I think there would be competition. At the same point, if you're Caleb Williams, you're not coming to compete. You're coming to start.
You're coming to start, yes. But I mean, it's kind of like Jalen Hurts.
Not that you'd be afraid to compete, obviously. But yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, you're coming to start.
You're coming to start.
Yeah. But and then USC's got recruiting stuff with Malachi Nelson decommitting from Oklahoma.
Have we talked about how great of a name that is?
Malachi Nelson. It's a wonderful name.
Mekhi Lemon.
Mekhi Lemon is a great name. There's some good names out there, dude. The landscape of recruiting, of transfers, of the roster as currently composed at USC, it is going to change significantly over the next few weeks, let alone next few months. So I can't even begin to guess who will or won't go which way.
Yeah, I think if you look at like someone like Hazelwood, absolutely you'd want to bring him on. I think he had 39 catches for OU this past year. Not a ton, but SC needs wide receivers desperately needs wide receivers. So absolutely, you take someone with the five-star pedigree that he has. At the same point, talking about Williams and Dart and all that stuff, this is what's called a good problem to have.
Yes.
So if you are invested in Jackson Dart, to me it's the same thing as Dante Williams. Yeah, you should want Dante Williams to stay. But if Dante Williams doesn't stay and Lincoln Riley has another option, Lincoln Riley has sort of earned the benefit of the doubt to go with his other option. If it's Caleb Williams, you ride it. You go for it.
I would not be mad if Caleb Williams is USC starting quarterback in 2022.
People are talking about as a Heisman contender, right?
Yeah, I think that's a...
These are good problems to have.
Yeah, yeah.
Good problems to have. Slack message from SJ in Santa Barbara. Wouldn't it be fair to say that while we were playing checkers, Bone and Sasna were playing chess?
Man, I cannot get over the move they pulled. I cannot get over the move they pulled.
Secretly.
Secretly. And that's what one of the things that Sasna said in the scrum was just how they imprinted on everyone involved the importance of the secrecy, because if it got out, it would kill it. If it got out, it was dead. And the fact that they kept that secret, the fact that they didn't have any leaks, shows you the buy-in across the board from everyone involved. And when you have that, you're doing something right. When you are not just ambitious to say, we want Lincoln Riley. Brandon Sasna said that Lincoln Riley was number one on his list from 2014 when he was an intern, before he was a head coach, before he was anything, like when Sasna was an intern. But this has been a long time coming, like a dream hire for them. And they were ambitious enough to try it, and they were competent enough to pull it off. So it's not just that they were playing chess. They were playing chess extremely well, because I can play chess, and that doesn't mean that I'm any good at it.
You don't do the, what's it called, the Spanish opening or whatever?
Yeah, no. No, no.
By the way, I just realized we never answered Guy's question about Lincoln shoot. Riley. Lincoln Riley was not on the list.
Oh, yeah, no. Lincoln Riley was a Grand Slam hire, tier one. Brandon Sasna called him they have buckets that they describe their coaching candidates in. And the guys who are like on a completely other level, he calls them tier zero. And Lincoln Riley was number one in tier zero. Yeah,
that would make sense, because he would have been there.
Lincoln Riley almost doesn't fit in our tier system because he is a Grand Slam that is beyond, like, back-to-back Grand Slams, maybe.
So here's what I would say. Everything we said about Bob Stoops transposed, because Bob Stoops was the only one that we said would be the elite hire. I think everything we talked about Bob Stoops was in the vein of, like, wishful thinking that he had youthful enthusiasm
despite five years out of
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
That he would be the clone of Lincoln, the closest thing you could get to Lincoln Riley. But no, SC got the 38-year-old version of Bob Stoops, which is Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Obviously. I mean, offensive coach, defensive coach. We're going to ignore that part of it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You got as good of a 38-year-old quarter coach that does not have an actual national title on his resume. That you could have imagined.
Yeah.
100%. All right, let's go to a call we got from Darlene.
Hey, Renshaw. Darlene from Grand Terrace. Calling back, just to also say, since I didn't mention it, but Carol Folt had a large part to play in this too. She made this hire of Mike Bone, and then bringing Sasna. I think that their team is really showing that they can get stuff done. It was a bad situation USC has been in with athletics and lots of other things, and lots of other things are still going wrong. But as far as the whole not caring and all that stuff, I hope that everyone can just realize that they do care, and they cared enough to have patience to do this right, and this is the payoff. And it's great. So I hope everyone can just be excited about this. Enjoy it. Like you guys say,
You know, if you don't take the joy in these things, like, why are you even, you know, following USC or college football or sports in general? So yeah, enjoy the moment, everyone. Have fun. Give credit where credit's due. And look forward to, you know, even the spring game now, which I haven't been to in I don't know how long. So fight on.
Yeah, the spring game.
The spring game's going to be lit, man.
How excited is the spring game going to be?
Yeah.
No, Darlene makes a million great points here that, yeah, at this point, if you're still bashing on Carol Folt for literally everything.
Seek help.
Then what you're doing is perpetuating a narrative rather than arguing something of substance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I echo what they talked about in the press conference. If nothing else, it's less about she played a role, 100%, 1,000%. But it's less about the exact role that she played. It's about the presence that she brought in the sense of she was the first outside hire USC brought, and then they repeated that kind of hire over and over and over again. Which is, just go find out the best person for the job. It's not that hard. Our friend Ryan Abraham over at USCFootball.com talks about it all the time. Just hire good people.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you do that, like, who cares if they're USC people or not?
Yeah. I mean, and Carol Folt, I don't need her to be super involved in the football program. I don't need her to be pulling strings. I don't need her to know when USC season is over. I don't care about any of that. She hired the right people and then let them do their jobs, and good for her.
Supported when she needed to support.
Yes.
And all those things. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Slack message from Marcelo. Who can we blame for things now?
Bob Connolly, of course.
Well, yeah. 100%. Yeah. What if? Bob Connolly, by the way, didn't he coach at OU at one point?
Did he? I don't remember.
I can't remember either. What if he's the guy? It's not Beedenbow. It's Connolly. What would you say?
You just found the one thing. The one thing that could totally deflate my happiness right now.
One thing I wanted to mention. We had gotten a question. I can't remember where. Was it on Slack? Was it Twitter? No, it was Max Brown. Max Brown tweeted that he wouldn't be surprised if Graham Harrell stayed as the OC because he was from Texas Tech at the same time that Lincoln Riley was there and all that kind of stuff.
Well, A, but, that's not happening.
No, but
B, that's not happening. C, that's not happening.
But here's what I just want to throw out there. Like, I agree that, you know, there's a basic connection there, right? No, but if that happened, don't read too much into it. This is a Lincoln Riley. No, I know. I'm just saying, if that sort of thing did happen, this is a Lincoln Riley era. It would be done for good reasons, and Lincoln Riley's the one calling the damn plays. So don't worry about it.
I don't know why you are giving our listeners heart palpitations right now by even talking about this.
Saying don't have any on the...
It's not happening.
Last one. We got a voicemail from Chris.
Hey, Ryan and Troy. This is Chris from outside Boston. Calling in response to the very exciting news that we'd be hiring Lincoln Riley. In trying to think of potential cons for this hire, the only thing that immediately comes to mind for me is that god-awful picture of a burnt-ass brisket that he posted last Easter. So my question for the podcast is, can we recommend any potential barbecue places in the L.A. area for our new head coach? I think this question is a little more targeted towards Alicia, given Michael's history of questionable food takes. Personally, I'm a big fan of Gus's Barbecue in South Pasadena, but just figured we might as well get a thread going with some recommendations out there. Thanks. Love the show and look forward to hearing you guys some more. Fight on.
Thanks for the call, Chris, even though there was some slander there. I have excellent barbecue opinions. Okay,
Michael has a lot of really bad food takes.
Really good ones.
No, a lot of really bad ones. But he knows he when it comes to barbecue, to brisket, he's got it. He's a good judge on brisket.
So I just Googled Lincoln Riley's social media accounts because I wanted to figure out if I could see this picture. I can't find his Instagram. I think it's been deleted. his Twitter still, like, is OU, like, in charge of his Twitter account? Like, is it not his own personal account? It still has OU branding. Come on, what are you doing? Get with it, SC. Come on. My picks for barbecue in LA. Baby Blues in Venice. And I'm a big fan of Bloodsos in the Melrose area.
Bloodsos is good. Baby Blues is good, but let's be honest, the only thing I care about at Baby Blues is their mac and cheese. It's one of the few barbecue situations
love
where
their pulled pork.
You try not to get filler when you go to barbecue, but I could eat a tub of Baby Blues mac and cheese.
It is so the best mac and cheese in the world.
It is the by far.
And their cornbread, oh my God.
So
it's incredible.
I wish I remembered Baby Blues barbecue better, but the only thing that my taste buds like care about is the mac and cheese. Bloodsos, very, very good brisket. I'm also partial for Valley Peeps. Swinging Door.
Swinging Door is very good.
Yes.
Very
good. Haven't been to the one in South Pasadena, maybe that's something that we can, as connoisseurs of barbecue, we can do. In the Valley as well, the Bear Pit is always an old reliable. So I grew up on the Bear Pit. So
the Bear Pit, is that the one that you had me go get and it had the sauce all over the brisket?
That might have.
Yeah, big no from me, pal. No.
Well, I like it. I don't remember
you
if that was
sauce
the one.
On my damn brisket.
Yeah, I don't remember. That was during the pandemic.
You know what putting sauce on meat says? It says that this meat is not good.
You say after talking about pulled pork.
The pulled pork at Baby Blues doesn't have sauce? No.
Oh, okay.
Like it's, you know, well seasoned and marinated and all that stuff, but it's not saucy.
If you want just pure barbecue just meats, Swinging Door, Bloodsos, I think those are the way to go.
All right. That's a wrap of this episode.
But also the mac and cheese is
the mac and cheese of Baby
the
Blues.
Mac and cheese of Baby Blues is
God, now I want Baby Blues.
Oh, it's so good.
Can we go there
like I don't
Thursday? Let's go Thursday.
I cannot overstate my love of that barbecue of that mac and cheese.
Thursday?
Like I don't know if our listeners will fully appreciate my love of that mac and cheese. Like that's my last meal on earth. Like that's the thing.
All right, I'm going to ask you a very personal question. Talk about the things in life that you love.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to rank these three things that you love.
Oh no.
Starbucks coffee. Mo Salah's right foot.
Hmm.
And Baby Blue's mac and cheese. How are you ranking them?
Okay.
And if Mo Salah's left-footed, then his left foot. Whatever.
Okay. Baby Blue's mac and cheese. Mo Salah's feet, hair, all of the above.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Starbucks coffee. I very much enjoy a seasonal Starbucks latte. Like, I am that basic person, but not pumpkin. I mean, I do like PSLs, but like I'm all about the apple crisp macchiato. I'm all about the chestnut praline latte, which is my all time favorite. So like I love those things. Starbucks coffee, though, whatever. I am addicted to coffee. So
I've never seen you get coffee from anywhere that isn't Starbucks.
Coffee Bean has a good hazelnut latte.
I've never seen you go to a Coffee Bean, a Pete's.
Well, because okay, so Starbucks has an app that I can locate the nearest place where I can purchase the thing and then order it on the app and then walk in and pick it up for mobile order. So like
sure, yeah.
Starbucks is convenience is half of the battle there.
When you're on campus, where was your go-to place to get coffee or a snack or anything?
Well, I lived in Burn Cramp my first year. I always forget
people lived on campus.
Yeah. It's weird to me. So I would go to just Trojan Ground, Trogro. After...
Is that off of Trousdale?
It's literally like right underneath Burn Cramp between next to Levy. When I lived at Cardinal Gardens, where did I get coffee? I want to say you just stop into any of the coffee places that were... Was it a coffee bean that was in the film school? I don't remember.
Could not tell you.
I just go up to a coffee cart in Annenberg. Like, I'm not discerning about this. It's just like there's coffee there. I'm getting the coffee. Like,
fair enough.
So it doesn't even need to be particularly good coffee for me to drink the coffee, for me to purchase the coffee. So that's if you just said a blanket like coffee, then I think I'd go coffee one. Mac and cheese, the Baby Blues mac and cheese, and then Mosala. But, yeah. All three of my great loves in life, yes.
Okay, how about add in tight end touchdown in that list?
Oh, buddy. I think it's fourth.
Tight end touchdown's fourth?
I think tight end touchdowns are fourth. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Heard it here first, folks.
I know.
Now's your time to call back into the Rancho Rant line, Rave line, whatever. 213-373-1872 is the phone number. Email address, ramftryfansite.com is the email address. You know how to reach us everywhere else. That's going to do it. USC is the new head coach. It's Lincoln Riley. We'll see how the new era does for the Trojans. Until next time, at least you got a final word?
The final word is... Lincoln. As in...
Park?
Lincoln Park is good. The Lincoln Lawyer was a good movie.
Did you play with Lincoln Logs as a kid?
I did Lincoln Logs, yeah. Yeah. Lincoln President. It's a good name. Lincoln.
Kind of an old person car, though.
Very much so, yes.
Well, okay, what's more of an old person car? A Lincoln or an Oldsmobile?
An Oldsmobile, because it literally had olds in it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay, see ya.
See ya.
Yeah.